बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल।
सो फिफ्थ कैंटो हैज मल्टीपल एपिसोड्स। फर्स्ट एपिसोड इज प्रियव्रत, फर्स्ट चैप्टर। प्रियव्रत फर्स्ट सन इज अग्निध्र, दैट्स डिस्कस्ड इन द सेकंड चैप्टर। नाभी, Nabhi's episode is discussed in the third chapter. Nabhi is the first son of Agnidhra. Nabhi's son is Rishabhadev. His whole pastimes and activities are discussed in fourth, fifth and sixth chapters. Rishabhadev's son is Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj's three lives are discussed in 7th chapter up to 14th chapter, 13th chapter actually. So after that, the other descendants of Priyavrata are also described, and later cosmology begins. Okay. In cosmology, we see Jambudvipa structure. And the whole universe, horizontal, vertical structure, all the planetary systems and the movements of sun and hellish planets. This is a quick preview of fifth canto. The third canto describes Sarga and Visarga. Fourth canto also continues Visarga by describing the dynasties of Akuti, Prasuti and Uttanapad. Fifth canto, half of the fifth canto is dedicated to discussing the dynasty of Priyavrata and cosmology. In the first chapter of fifth canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. Priyavrata entered household life. Although he was a brahmachari in the beginning, he was being trained by Narada Muni, still he went into household life. So, and even after entering household life also, he perfected his life in Krishna consciousness. How was this possible? Why did he change ashram? In the second ashram also, his Krishna consciousness was infallible. How did he manage to do that? That was his question. Sukadeva Goswami says, obstacles cannot obstruct absorption in Krishna consciousness. In whichever ashram one may be in, if he is rooted in the principles of Krishna consciousness, he can perfect his life, as we can see in Priyavrata's example. There are two impediments in bhakti, as we discussed yesterday also. One is Lord's desire, second is Vaishnava Aparadha. When Bharat Maharaj became a deer in his next life, that is Lord's desire. Because although Bharat Maharaj came to Bhava stage, because he was distracted by an insignificant animal, the Lord wanted to give him a heavy punishment for that distraction and thus intensify his absorption in devotional service. So, he made him an animal. But although he made him an animal, he protected his consciousness of being a devotee. So that is Lord's intervention. Same with Priyavrata also. Priyavrata wanted to continue as a renunciant under the training of Narada Muni. But because of Lord's intervention only, through Brahmaji, he came to household life. Still, his Krishna consciousness continued. Right? After he performed that responsibility, he came back to his devotional life again. So that is Lord's intervention. Second is Vaishnava Aparadha. Rahugana did a Vaishnava Aparadha to Jadabharat, but later he begged forgiveness and Jadabharat forgave. So that's how these impediments can be taken away. So Priyavrata sought the lotus feet of the Lord and engaged in Krishna Katha. At that time Brahmaji descended along with his associates to Gandhamadhana Hill, and Brahmaji spoke to Priyavrata with a smile and compassion. Smile because Brahmaji happens to be the grandfather of Priyavrata. Priyavrata is Swayambhu Manu's son and Swayambhu Manu is Brahmaji's son. So now the grandson wants to be in renounced order and grandfather wants to change him to household life. So there is a smile. Let's see whose determination will win. And he's also compassionate. Oh, poor Priyavrata. He wants to perform devotional service and I am distracting him. So he is compassionate also, but still there will be protection for him. So Priyavrata's example is an example of sacrificing one's own ambition and one's own desire to attend to the need of his superiors. Brahmaji and his superior Swayambhu Manu, they desperately needed somebody to take over the kingdom. A qualified person should take over the kingdom so that Swayambhu Manu can retire. How long he will continue in that post? So Priyavrata was given. Priyavrata was approached with that request. So he sacrificed. He adjusted. Okay, fine. I will do this for you. By doing that, he got profuse blessings also. So Brahmaji had to give so many reasons to convince Priyavrata. Don't deviate from the Lord's order. Even Shiva, Manu, Narada, everybody must follow. Natasya kaschit tapasa vidyayava na yoga viryena manishayava naivartha dharmaihi paratasvatova kritam vihantam tanubhrit vibhuyat. So no one can deviate from the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the Lord's desire that you take up this household life and take charge of the kingdom. So please do it. No one can avoid the Lord's order by any means. And all the jivas accept bodies by Lord's order only. And all are bound by duties of Varnashram. Accept happiness and distress given by the Supreme Lord with faith. Even a liberated person also undergoes certain inevitable reactions that he has to undergo. So, you may be thinking that household life will harm me. I won't be able to focus on Krishna. But household life cannot harm if you are sense controlled. If one is controlled in one's senses and focuses on Krishna, then household life cannot harm him. You should conquer the mind and senses in household life and seek shelter of the Lord's lotus feet and conquer the senses and please accept this responsibility. Then Priyavrata agreed. He carried out Brahmaji's order. And Brahmaji was happy. He went back to his Satyaloka. And all the personalities who came with Brahmaji also went back. Swayambhu Manu was very happy. He felt that I am relieved now. I am relieved from this responsibility of this management. So let Priyavrata take over it. Then Narada Muni also gave his blessings. He did not say anything. He understood the need there. Because someone who is a disciple of Narada Muni, changing the ashram of Narada Muni's disciple is not a small thing. But Narada Muni said, okay, fine, go ahead. Because it's an important need. Brahmaji came to recommend. That must be really serious. Four Mahajans are there. Swayambhu Manu is there. He is a Mahajan. Narada Muni Mahajan. Brahmaji. And who is the other one? Shiva was also there, although he is not speaking so much. So, that must be a really serious thing. Yes, Prabhu.
First, Swami Manu ruled. After that, Uttanapada has come.
Uttanapada's whole dynasty ruled. And Daksha went to perform austerities for 3 manvantaras. Daksha is the last person in the dynasty of Uttanapada. Uttanapada, Dhruva, then Vena, Anga, Prithu, Prachinabarhi, Prachetas, Daksha. So Daksha took a break for 3 manvantaras, not 3 days. So someone has to take over the kingdom.
So Manu has taken over the kingdom again.
Which Manu?
Swayambhu Manu.
Swayambhu Manu took over the kingdom, or Swayambhu Manu came directly to Priyavrata to, okay, Daksha is out of action, you should take over. What exactly is the thing, we don't know.
But you are telling that Manu is having the burden of ruling the kingdom and taking the responsibility for so long.
Yeah, I mean, his responsibility is also to find an able ruler. If there is no ruler now, Daksha is out of action, the responsibility comes to Swayambhu Manu only. He is the head, right? HOD, and there are so many volunteers. Right? If someone can manage to take over the kingdom, then he can see what exactly has happened. Is it like Swayambhu Manu took over the kingdom after Prachetas? Or just because Daksha is out of action, Swayambhu Manu responsibly came forward to request Priyavrata? I am not completely sure. But basically, Swayambhu Manu, now his responsibility is to find an able administrator. Thus he came to Priyavrata.
Those many kings, their lifespans are lesser than Priyavrata?
Actually, some of these people will live for multiple manvantaras. And they may rule for a while. After that they will retire. When they will die, when they will go back to Godhead, that's a different thing. But I ruled for some time and I gave an able descendant to continue the rule. My job is over. I will go. I will perform my tapasya. I will dedicate my life for Krishna consciousness. That's what they will do. Uttanapada did like that only. So Daksha lived for 3 manvantaras. Prevartas life is so much. Although he is the brother of Uttanapada, although Uttanapada retired and so many people in his dynasty retired, still Prevartas is living.
Some people ruled for 3 manvantaras. Swayambhu Manu, Manu has also changed. 3 manvantaras means next Manu has come.
And this is happening in first manvantara only, Prevartas thing.
But the below ruler has ruled for 3 manvantaras, you are saying, below Uttanapada.
No. Uttanapada's dynasty, whole dynasty is within Swayambhu Manvantara only. And the last person in Uttanapada's dynasty, his name is Daksha, he went to perform austerities for 3 manvantaras. He took birth in first manvantara, but he didn't come into action up to 6th manvantara, I think. He took birth in first manvantara. Chakshusha manvantara, he came in action, correct. Prevartas, three sons become the manus of next few manvantaras. After getting goat head, he changed body. So I'll show you one thing. This is the manvantara table room. You can see it. It's visible. Manu, first Manu is Swayambhu Manu. His sons are Uttanapada and Prevart. So these are all the different people, personalities. Now Swarochisha, Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata. These 4 manvantaras happened after Swayambhu Manu's dynasty. Uttanapada and Prevartha belong to first manvantara only. Now Daksha took over again in Chakshusha manvantara. And in Uttanapada's dynasty, Daksha appeared in his second birth. Right. So you want one more? I have one more information. This is also that only. So Bhagavatam events and in which manvantara they happened. So fifth can, the whole Priyavrata dynasty is within first manvantara only. Whole Uttanapada's dynasty is within first manvantara only. Daksha took birth in first manvantara, he did his activities in 6th manvantara. Daksha lived for such a long time. Correct. Not 4 manus. They are, let me just say, this is what, 7th manvantara, no? Three of them are Prevartas sons. Where is it? So some of these names we don't remember. See, Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata, these 3 are Prevartas sons. So they, Prevartas sons become Manus of 3rd, 4th, 5th manvantara. Swarochisha is the second Manu. He is son of Agni. He is one of the names. Not much is discussed about Swarochisha. Whatever is mentioned, I put in this table. Nothing much mentioned about any of their activities, not much is mentioned. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, it is over you. Tell me. Yavanara. Yes, someone who is in crisis, very soberly he should approach, definitely.
Amazing, actually.
Yes, no doubt.
He is not creating any fear, but he is deeply concerned, and he is not putting even conditions. So how many years you are going to serve Priyavrat? He is not even speaking details. So my question is it that the Bhagavatam is not giving the details, or means the way Brahmaji is speaking in a crisis, he is not creating fear in the Priyavrat. So is it that he is not speaking details, that Priyavrata is asking how many years I have to serve? No, 5 years you have to serve. You know, you should have this conditions that you can do this, you can do this. Like that, these details have happened.
See, Bhagavatam presents 11 verses. How much discussion happened, we don't know. Okay. Second, we need to take principles from Bhagavatam. Yes, maybe your expectation is that someone who is approaching a subordinate to for some certain service, he should be a little gentle enough. He should speak in a more philosophical manner, or he should speak in a Krishna conscious manner in terms of inspiring him that it is Lord's will, it is such a great service, it's very desperate need, whatever it may be. So you expect some kind of Brahmaji kind of style in your authority when he's approaching you from service. Probably that is the case of a subordinate. Or maybe you want to behave like Brahmaji when you are dealing with your subordinate, whatever it may be. So definitely we can take the principles from that. And when we are applying here in our regular dealings with other devotees, as much as possible we should try to adopt and imbibe the mood and the sensitivity presented in Bhagavatam and the characters of Bhagavatam. So, now, look, what exactly is your question? Yeah, he is speaking that, fine. We can adopt
the question is that
as much as possible.
When there is crisis, Brahmaji understands the crisis.
Mm.
So it is it he one should present in a way of inspiring a person and
with great care about
the person, how he is speaking, you know, household life, you have to control sensation. It's like many things he is speaking.
Mm.
So that is, it is inspirational and Krishna conscious. And how he is so confident that I am doing will of Lord, you know.
Mm.
That is glory of Brahma. That may not be in me or something. Mm. Because I have so many material desires also.
Mm.
But the principle remains. So, or it should be in detail management that, you know, these things
subjective,
are required.
It's subjective.
That is my question.
Principle is inspiring someone to serve Krishna as per the need.
But the other side creates a fear in a person that these are the conditions of yourself. Priyavrat, if you come, you know, 10 years, if some problem happens, then you cannot go out.
Mm.
Like that. So that creates a fear in a servant to accept.
Yeah.
Whereas Brahmaji is not, at least here, it is not appearing that he is speaking all these things.
That's fine. So
is it clear? The principle I want to understand for myself.
The principle is clear. You should inspire. You should inspire him to serve Krishna. If he is not inspired to do that particular service, you should allow him also. That's what he did with four Kumaras. Case is same. Case is four Kumaras and Priyavrata. Brahmaji told them, please enter household life. Procreate. Take care of management. One person said, okay, I will do. Another four people, they said, we will not do. So he respected them for what they are. We discussed it very elaborately in 3rd Canto, 12th chapter. Right? Comparing this case, we spent like almost half an hour. So now I didn't get your question till now. Point is, like what I understood is, authorities should imbibe this mood. That's what is your recommendation. Fine. Yeah, we should not create fear. Yeah. Because Klaibhyam Mashmagamah Partha Naitatva Yupapadyate. Krishna wanted him. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight. Krishna told, you are important, you are not fighting. That's how he began. Whatever works, someone may do, that depends on the specific relationship also.
That is wonderful. That saying important is ecstatic, but he is not telling this way. You know, you have to fight for 5 hours after that. You cannot.
Finally, he also said, Karishya, what is that? Yadichasi Tatha Guru also. Right? So that autonomy is given. Basically, one thing I have seen in many other cases also, we can't have ideal expectations when we are dealing with other people. If you know what is ideal, if you have the bandwidth and mood and capacity to apply what is ideal, please do it. If someone is not behave ideal, we should not unnecessarily judge them. Prabhupada spoke, someone who is reading, I think, Hari Bhakti Vilas or something like that. If you start reading such high standards and you will start judging other people, don't read it. You will fall down. So, Yes, like yesterday also, today also, like I was getting that only. This we can take inspiration from this kind of events, this kind of episodes in Bhagavatam. How Brahmaji dealt with his subordinate, how Yamaraj dealt with his subordinate, how they were sensitive, how they were tolerant, how they were accommodative, all this we can definitely do. And sometimes some authorities are strict also, within Bhagavatam also, we have seen. So, yeah, as much as well, people will apply. I didn't find it like a straight Bhagavatam related inquiry. It's like more like application, how people are able to or unable to apply it. That's the whole concern that you're trying to present. So, I don't want to comment on that. Yes. Yeah, principle is this. Yeah, sure. Hari Hari. So, Priyavrata married Barhishmati. Prabhu, if you go into discussions, na, we can't complete. Can't over. Yes, Prabhu, please. Whatever works, but Bhagavatam becomes our primary reference. Yeah, if Manusmriti, some reference is helping you to intensify your absorption in Bhagavatam, you can take a little bit. But Bhagavatam is our primary thing. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam, Lord Chaitanya said. So, Priyavrata married Barhishmati and he had 10 sons and one daughter called Urjaswati. And there are 3 celibate sons. Out of these 10 sons, 3 became celibates. Kavi, Mahavira and Savana. And Priyavrata also married another wife. Through her, he got Uttama, Tamasa and Raivata. And they became Manus of 3 Manvantaras. See, total he had 13 sons. 10 sons from first wife, 3 sons from second wife. Sons of second wife became Manus of second, third, fourth, fifth and fifth Manvantaras. And 3 sons from the first wife became Brahmacharis. 7 sons from first wife became the rulers of 7 islands that he has created in Bhumandala. Clear? Next. He ruled for 11 Arbuda years. And Priyavrata was dissatisfied with sons' movements. So he became another son, second son, and he started giving light to the other side of the universe also. So Priyavrata became 2. He expanded himself into another person. There is one Priyavrata ruling the kingdom, there is another Priyavrata becoming like a son. And Prabhupada says that Priyavrata never wanted to compete with son. That's not the mood of a Vaishnava. He just wanted to serve his citizens. So, while he is doing driving on his chariot, so the chariot impressions of Priyavrata created 7 ditches in the Bhumandala and that created 7 oceans and 7 islands. And his 7 sons became their rulers. And Priyavrata's daughter Urjaswati married Shukracharya and their daughter is Devayani. And Devayani married Yayati. And so, how could Priyavrata create 7 ditches in Bhumandala? He is changing the universal cosmology. The universal geographical structure he is changing with his chariot. So, what does it mean? It means that by the empowerment of Krishna, a devotee can accomplish anything. Naivam vidha purushakara urukramasyam pumsam tadanghri rajasa jita shadgunanam चित्रं विदूर विगतः सकृदाददीतां यन्नामधेयमधुना सजहाति बंधम. So this Priyavrata, because of the empowerment of the Supreme Lord, he can perform such astonishing activities also. Just like the Supreme Lord is Urukrama, he came like a dwarf Brahmana. And he expanded his size, he became Trivikrama and he covered the entire universe. Similarly, the devotee of the Supreme Lord also can perform such astonishing activities by his power. So there is nothing surprising when Priyavrata did this. So after living in household life for a while, Priyavrata repented because he was thinking that I am getting too absorbed in this family life. I have become like a dancing monkey in the hands of Barhishmati. And again, He retired from his active household life and he was reinstated in the situation that Narada Muni brought him to. So, glory of Priyavrata is sung by many people. Then Priyavrata's first son is Agnidhra. Agnidhra developed a desire to enter Pitruloka. Why? Because while conceiving Agnidhra, Priyavrata became a little lusty. So, because of that conception, because of that mentality, he attracted a son who had that kind of tendency. So, with a desire to enter Pitruloka, with a desire to get a son, he went to Mandara Hill and started performing his austerities to please Brahmaji. And that hill is known for Apsaras coming there and strolling. So, he is there, going there and then meditating with half closed eyes. And Brahmaji, understanding the desire of his devotee, he had sent Purvachitti. And Purvachitti, there was a conversation between Purvachitti and this Agnidhra, and eventually they get married and they get 9 sons. And Priyavrata's first son is Agnidhra, and Agnidhra is the ruler of the middle Dvipa, Jambudvipa, in the universal structure. He has created 7 islands. In the middlemost island, which is circular, Agnidhra became the ruler. And within this Jambudvipa, there are 9 Varshas. And Priyavrata got 9 sons. Not Priyavrata. Agnidhra got 9 sons. These 9 sons of Agnidhra became the rulers of 9 Varshas of Jambudvipa. And Agnidhra eventually went back to Pitruloka. And later, Agnidhra's first son is Nabhi. Nabhi became the ruler of Bharatvarsha. So his 9 sons became the rulers of 9 Varshas. And the names of these 9 Varshas are also named after the sons of Agnidhra. Nabhi became the ruler of Bharatvarsha. Initially it is called Ajanabha Varsha. Later it became Bharatvarsha when Bharat Maharaj became the king. So Nabhi also developed a desire to get a son who is as good as the Supreme Lord. So he conducted a sacrifice. He engaged some priests. Then the Supreme Lord manifested in that sacrifice. And the priests offered such beautiful heartfelt prayers. And they said that this Nabhi is very less intelligent. Although you can give liberation, you can give so many other transcendental benedictions. Nabhi desired a son who is as good as you. It's a material desire. So you have come, appeared personally in this materially motivated sacrifice. We are sorry for calling you into this sacrifice. Then the Lord said, yes, there is no one as good as me. So I will only become his son. So he expanded himself into Rishabhadev and appeared as the son of Nabhi and Meru Devi. Then Rishabhadev manifested symptoms of Supreme Personality of Godhead right from the beginning. And Rishabha means best of human beings. Once Indra became envious of Rishabha and then he stopped rain in Ajanabha Varsha, and Rishabhadev created rain by his mystic potency and defeated Indra. And Indra gave him Jayanti as wife. Rishabhadev married Jayanti and he got 100 sons. Rishabhadev is very popular amongst the citizens. Eventually he became the ruler, and Nabhi also retired. Nabhi is such a fortunate and exalted personality. Although he was described to be having material desires in the previous chapter, his material desire was to have someone as great as the Supreme Lord to be his son. But after the Lord became his son, Nabhi developed Vatsalya Rasa for his son. So Nabhi became renounced, and Rishabhadev took charge of the kingdom. His exemplary character is described here. And Rishabhadev got 100 sons through Jayanti. Out of these 100 sons, 10 sons are Kshatriyas. And 9 sons are Mahabhagavatas. They are Navayugendras. Their activities are described in the 11th canto. And 81 sons are perfectly qualified Brahmanas. And out of these 10 Kshatriya sons, one is Bharat Maharaj. He is a Mahabhagavata, exalted devotee. He is the ruler of Bharatvarsha. Plus 9 other Kshatriya sons. So, once Varna is described, once Varna is decided according to the according to his quality and not necessarily birth. Because Rishabhadev is playing the role of a Kshatriya, all his sons are supposed to be Kshatriyas, but 81 of them are Brahmanas, 9 of them are like beyond Brahmanas also. Only 10 become Kshatriyas, 10%. Rishabhadev also conducted various sacrifices with first class ingredients and very young priests he employed. Then Rishabhadev gave his teachings to his sons at Brahmavarta in the presence of so many Brahmanas. The first teaching he gave is Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Riloke Kashtan Kaman Arhate Vidbhujam Ye Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Suddhet Yasmat Brahma Saukhyam Tu Anantam. So, the importance of human life he explained, saying that human life is not meant for sense gratification, but to endeavor for Brahma Saukhyam. Whether personal or impersonal, one should endeavor for Brahma Saukhyam. But what is preferable is personal. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktehe Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. If one serves Mahat, serves great souls, then one will open doors for liberation. If one serves materialistic people, they will go to hell. Right? So, extraordinary qualities of a devotee and ideal household life also he gives. They earn for their livelihood, but they also spend their earnings for hearing and chanting. That's how even in household life they perform intense Krishna consciousness. That is third verse. Then, Nunam Pramattaha Kurute Vikarma Yindriya Pritaya Aprinoti. So, people become obsessed with the sense gratification and they perform vikarmas, sinful activities, and they transmigrate in this birth-death cycle. And such a life which is centered around sense gratification without any inquiry into Atma Tattva is a great defeat for the human being. Parabhavastavada bodha jato yavan na jignasata Atma Tattvam yavat kriyastavad idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Without understanding Atma Tattva, one cannot avoid transmigration from one body to another body. So one has to inquire about Atma Tattva and one has to develop love for Krishna, that is bhakti. Then transmigration is sure. So knowledge is useless without understanding the futility of sense gratification. Right? So that's why there is a discussion about futility of sense gratification also. There is a positive discussion about the knowledge of Krishna also and his attributes also. The basic principle of material existence is the attraction between male and female. Out of so many distracting things in the life of a spiritual seeker, the most distracting element is his desires for associating with the opposite sex. Pumsa hastriya mithuni bhavametam tayor mitha hridaya granthi mahuhu ato graha kshetra sutapta vittair janasya mohoyam aham vameti. The bondage between, the attraction between male and female that causes them to just spend time and get attached to this materialistic household life and furniture and children and many other engagements, and they are bound by this conception of aham mameti. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. It acts like a strong knot. And how can this knot be slackened? By giving up that ahamamiti conception. Right? And there are 25 limbs that are mentioned to make one free from this bondage. Right? So they are there in this. So some things which are already elaborated and presented in a lucid manner, I didn't present in the PPT. So 25 processes are there in the 49th page. First, accepting a guru and detachment from matter, tolerating dualities, inquiring about absolute truth, all the 25 elements are given in a table. So one needs to follow all these 25 limbs. This is the process of attaining liberation. And what is the result of it? Result of following all these instructions, the ignorance will be vanquished, the knot, that granthi, will be destroyed, and after this, without attachment to the means, one should retain bhakti. One should give up some of these processes, right, which are not core elements of bhakti. Then one should also inspire other people to perform bhakti. The responsibility of a leader, whether he is a guru or a king or a teacher or a father or a demigod, his responsibility is to engage the ignorant people in the process of bhakti. They cannot tolerate to see people suffering in this material world. They want to engage people in bhakti. Right? The nature of ignorant men is that they don't know self-interest. They are bound by lust and they are attached to sense gratification. They create a society of envy. So seeing them, a sensible soul feels compassionate and they will not allow such people to continue on the path of karma. They feel it very painful. However, not everyone will be able to take up that role of a superior and deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So he should not become be greedy to attain that position without that intent and without that ability. Gurur na sasyat svajano na sasyat, pitana sasyat janani na sasyat, daivam na tasyan na patischa sasyan, namo chayedya samupeta mrityam. One should not become a guru or relative or pita, father or mother or a demigod or a husband if they cannot deliver their dependents from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So one has to perform bhakti, but whom should we perform bhakti to? So they discussed. Rishabhadev said that bhakti has to be performed unto me. Idam shariram mamadurvibhavyam. So no need to go anywhere else. So Rishabhadev's transcendental body is described and his qualities are described. I am that supreme personality of Godhead who is supposed to be served by all of you, Rishabhadev says. And who is that Mahat Seva Dwaramahur Vimukti, he said in second verse, right? Who is that Mahat? Who is that pure devotee in whose footsteps we have to follow while serving you? That is Bharat Maharaj. So the Lord and the devotee, ideal devotee, are there in the same family. So if you serve Bharat Maharaj, that will include my service also. Then he also says that we need to understand the gradation of living entities. You should perform bhakti and you should also respect other people. And how much respect we should give to whom? Everybody deserves certain respect. Whether it is movable entity or immovable entity, living entity or non-living entity. So they deserve certain respect. First, least respect is given to dull matter, Gandharvas. Like that, finally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead deserves the maximum respect. So like that, one should respect all the living entities according to their position. Dehanatha jata jata. Tapeto, what is that verse? Sakale sammayana kurite shakati dehanatha jata jata. So respecting everyone does not mean indiscriminately giving the same amount of respect to everything. So one needs to respect according to one's situation. Even Kapil Dev also mentions this. Yes, Prabhu.
In the order, Shiva is mentioned earlier and Brahma is mentioned later. Mm. Brahma is a living entity, Shiva is a Shambhu Tattva.
Correct, correct. So, there is an explanation given about this also. According to Brahma is superior to Shiva because he is the father and he serves the Brahmanas. But Shiva is superior to Brahma if you see it from a Vaishnava perspective. Right? So, the gradations change depending on the parameters we are deciding. Correct. So in that sense, Shiva is superior to Brahmaji. But Brahmaji happens to be the father and Shiva is the son. In that sense, Brahmaji deserves more respect. That kind of. So the parameter considered is different. So I eat through the mouths of Brahmanas. There are eight qualities of Brahmanas. Sama, Dama, Tapa, Saucham, etc. My akinchana devotees, my unalloyed devotees' desire is to engage in my devotional service and nothing else. Okay. So respect all jivas, but worship me only at all times. The only way to get out of material existence is to engage one's senses in Krishna's devotional service. And after giving all these teachings to his sons, and through his sons, after giving all these teachings to the humanity, Rishabhadev retires. He enthrones Bharat Maharaj as the king of Bharatvarsha and he retires. And he becomes an avadhut. He tours all over the world. He was so beautiful even while being an avadhut. He accepted the behavior of a python. And when he passed stool and urine also, it became very aromatic. Rishabhadev follows the behavior of cow, deer, crow, like that. And he did not accept mystic powers. Why Rishabhadev neglected mystic powers? Sukadeva Goswami gives an answer, saying that spiritualists, they do not put faith in mind. Just like a hunter, he captures some animals in his net, but he does not trust them. They may leave at any moment. Similarly, a spiritualist also might control his mind to a certain extent, but he doesn't become lax. He will become more alert also. He will become alert not to allow the mind to run away behind sense objects again. Although it came under control, I should continue to put my efforts to keep it under control. If I become lax, it will again go out of control. Like that. So such mind is compared to unchaste woman, Pumschali. Unchaste woman might have connections with other men also, even in the presence of husband, secretly. So mind is like that. The restless mind can cheat at any moment, and that mind can give way to all kinds of anarthas. So there are nice verses here. Nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuyereyaha kamo manjur madolo bhoshoka moha bhayadeyaha. All these are given. So he acted as avadhut just to teach yogis how to give up one's body. So wandering like a madman under yoga maya, Lord considered his body material, behaved like ordinary human being. So other people also were ridiculing him and teasing him. All this were happening. So eventually Rishabhadev apparently relinquished his body in a forest fire. But it's not like someone's death. Because of Rishabhadev disappearing in such a manner, all the animals and plants and all the other lower living entities in that forest, they became delivered. Because they were also burnt in that forest fire along with Rishabhadev. And Arhat imitates Rishabhadev and concocted some deviant religious principles. Prabhupada writes that we get best benefit out of Rishabhadev's activities by following his teachings and not by imitating his behavior of wandering naked. Rishabhadev adopted this avadhut style. So along with avadhut style, he gave so many wonderful teachings to his sons. So one should perfect his life by following those teachings more than imitating his behavior as an avadhut, like Arhat did. So such people concoct religious principles on their own, they abandon Varnashram Dharma, they abandon bathing, worship, cleanliness and all that, they derive Vedas and they fall into darkest hellish regions. So Rishabhadev incarnated to deliver people from clutches of Maya mainly by giving his teachings. And one also has to see why Rishabhadev neglected mystic powers. It's mainly because mind is very powerful. One should not give in to the mind. Even if I have mystic powers, I may become distracted by those mystic powers only. I do not trust the mind. So one has to look from that perspective. And Rishabhadev was glorified by so many sages. So he appeared in the dynasty of Priyavrata, and Priyavrata's dynasty is so pure and celebrated because the Lord personally descended into that dynasty. Which yogi can follow Rishabhadev even within his mind? He rejected yogic perfections which other yogis hanker for. Right? So by hearing and speaking about the activities of Rishabhadev, one can attain pure devotional service unto Vasudeva. And devotees desire only such devotional service. They do not want mukti. Muktim dadati karhijit smana bhakti yogam. Rajan patir guru ralam bhavatam yadunam. Daivam priyah kulapatih kvachakinkarovah. Astveva manga bhagavan bhajatam mukundo. Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. So, Rajan Patir Gururalam Bhavatam Yadunam. So, here Sukadeva Goswami noticed that Parikshit Maharaj is a bit disappointed that Parikshit Maharaj did not appear, the Supreme Lord did not appear in his dynasty. Because in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami said, in the dynasty of Priyavrata, the Supreme Lord descended. So, Parikshit Maharaj felt that, oh, the Lord did not descend in our dynasty. Then Sukadeva Goswami said that the Lord is more affectionate to Pandavas than the Yadus. Thus, he gave highest prema to them. He did not give inferior liberation to such pure devotees. Lord can easily give mukti, but Lord does not give bhakti. You are all pure devotees. So, don't worry. So, he played the roles of Daiva, Priya, Kulapati, Kinkara in relation to his Pandavas. So, Krishna gave more time and affection to the Pandavas. So, you are all very fortunate, he said. So, then Sukadeva Goswami offers his obeisances to Rishabhadev and concludes this episode. Then Rishabhadev's first son is Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj performed so many sacrifices. He ruled in a very exemplary manner, following the footsteps of his father Rishabhadev. And he got 5 sons. And Ajanabha Varsha became Bharata Varsha because of Bharat Maharaj's rule. And Bharat Maharaj perfectly ruled and he was so affectionate to his citizens. And Bharat Maharaj worships the Supreme Lord through sacrifices. This is a very interesting phenomena here discussed in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj. You can see 60th page. There are notes. How could a pure devotee like Bharat Maharaj perform such sacrifices? They are mainly meant for karmakandic people. Does Bharat Maharaj also perform sacrifices? So, acharyas give this explanation that Bharat Maharaj, although he performed the sacrifice, he was in the consciousness that I am worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead only. When he is offering oblations to Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, he is meditating on various limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. He is offering oblations to Surya and Chandra. He is meditating on the eyes of the Lord. So, thus, apparently sacrifice is going on. Internally, devotional service to Vasudeva is going on. So, the consciousness with which the Lord, with which a person performs an activity is more important than the external activity itself. And also, Bharat Maharaj was not the enjoyer of the sacrifice. And in the ultimate sense, Bharat was not the performer of the sacrifice also. Because in Vishnu Sahasranam, the Lord is described to be Yajnabhug, Yajnakrit, Yajna. He is the Yajnabhug, he is the enjoyer of sacrifice. Yajnakrit, he is the performer of sacrifice. He is the Yajna, he is the sacrifice itself. So, Bharat Maharaj is just merely participating there. And his bhakti was pure. Although a devotee may perform some activities which are resembling the activities of some regular karmakandis, because of his intention and pure consciousness, those activities are also part of his bhakti yoga only. Thus, Bharat Maharaj's bhakti increased, not because of his sacrifices. His bhakti is already there. With bhakti, he conducted those sacrifices. Then, eventually, Bharat Maharaj retired from this Pulahashram. And Lord Hari, out of affection, he is visible to the devotees at Pulahashram. And he satisfies all the devotees' desires there. And at Pulahashram there are Saligram Silas and there is Gandaki River. Bharat Maharaj performs worship there and he attains symptoms of perfection. He attains the stage of Bhava also. And when the symptoms of ecstasy are kind of disturbing Parikshit Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, he felt that, no, I should focus on my regular sadhana rituals. This ecstasy is obstructing my sadhana. So, he brings back his mind and then focuses on sadhana like that. And he offers respectful obeisances to the Lord by chanting mantras and all. Next, one day, Bharat Maharaj was on the banks of Gandaki river. He is chanting his mantras. Then a thirsty doe came there. And she was pregnant also. Suddenly she heard a roar of a lion. And she became very frightened. And she leaped across the river. And she had a miscarriage. When there was so much of tension or some anxiety in the mind of a pregnant woman, so there is a possibility of miscarriage. So she had a miscarriage and the baby deer was just falling there. And because of that shock, because of being separated from her flock, she died also. So Bharat Maharaj saw that baby deer. And he became very compassionate on the deer, motherless deer. So Bharat Maharaj's affection for the deer grew and Bharat Maharaj forgot his sadhana eventually. So Bharat Maharaj thought that this deer has taken my shelter. Even if it compromises my spiritual practices, I have to give this deer full attention and care, and I must fondle the deer, and that is my preference now. So like that, Bharat Maharaj felt that I should not neglect this deer for my own personal comforts. I should protect this surrendered deer. So it is helpless, it is forced by time, it has taken my shelter, it is totally dependent on me, it has full faith in me. Sometimes, for example, a superior or an elder is taking care of a younger person, thinking that the younger person is dependent on me. But sometimes the human emotions, the material emotions are such that more than your dependent depending on you, you are dependent on the dependent's dependence on you. Right? A counselor may be dependent on his counsel is taking counseling from him. A father may be dependent on his child coming and taking assistance from the father. And definitely father assists the child, but helps the child in learning things or whatever. But if the child starts growing and then he starts doing things on his own, he doesn't come to father. In one sense, father may feel happy. In another sense, he's not coming to me. Right? He doesn't need me or what. So there is some kind of material emotion also there. So sometimes we also need to think about this ourselves also. Is this person dependent on me or am I dependent on his dependence on me? Right? So the material emotions will make him feel like that. So when Narada Muni was giving this counseling to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that what will happen to Gandhari? What will happen to Dhritarashtra and Vidura? They just left my palace. How will they maintain themselves? What will they eat? How will they live? Where will they stay? He was thinking like that. And it's all happened because of me. Then Narada Muni told, of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj's bewilderment is not the bewilderment of any ordinary conditioned soul. That's he's a pure devotee. But in that context, Narada Muni says that Kala Karma Gunadhino Jintoyam Pancha Bhutikaha. When someone is already being swallowed by the time, serpentine time, how can he protect others? You are thinking that how will they maintain themselves without you? Hastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. So one jiva is dependent on another jiva for its sustenance. Lord has made a law. No one can claim that so and so person is dependent on me artificially. So yesterday also we were discussing that Bharat Maharaj is thinking the deer is dependent on me, but the deer just left. The deer did not bother so much. Ajamil was thinking that, Ajamil is so affectionate towards his son. But when Ajamil is dying, the son is just playing there. Right? The attachment that we have for our so-called beloved objects, they may not have that much attachment. So, he is thinking that I am non-envious, I am selfless, I raise, I protect, I gratify, I fondle it. How can I neglect it? All that is disturbing my spiritual life. Yes, Prabhuji. Mic to Prabhuji.
In this case,
So it was a deer, and the situation is very clear that deer will not rise spiritually. So this is a very grahastha type question, very clearly. So how much should one ponder about the falling or rising of their dependence in bhakti? Because bhakti is not an easy thing. So even there we should be detached. Is that right? Or we should really go out and seek? Or should we treat them as just others, and you are just preaching to everyone and they are just happen to be there?
Means in general, trying to inspire others in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, in general, should a grahastha, male or female, both, their view should be towards their children as just as others preaching.
Children,
to
okay.
Children and everyone, whoever is dependent on each other, for grahastha, male or female, how should they think of their real duty in life? Is that when people are going away from, say, spiritual upliftment, they should let them go, because you can't just do too much, because they have their free will also. And and if you can do for your child and wife, not for other, why not for other people? So is that the outlook that one should always have, being very detached? Is if they want to come to me, I will give them everything. If they want to go, I cannot do anything and let them go. From a spiritual angle only, material is different. Material side is different. You have to give them whatever minimum you have to do.
To my limited knowledge and understanding and experience, I will just give a brief answer. But we can discuss later also. Point is, a Vaishnava is supposed to be compassionate, and as much as possible, he tries to inspire other people to take to Krishna consciousness. For example, somebody is doing book distribution. So, one way is standing in front of one person and somehow convincing him to take book, and mentioning that how this book is great and how you are rotting in this material world, how this book will uplift you, whatever it may be. That's one thing. And that same time, 1 hour he is spending with that person to convince him to take, he may spend that 1 hour in reaching out to, you know, 10 people or 100 people and showing the books, and more books may go. Right? He may tap more people. Right? That's like a general way of book distribution. Right? Either to reach out to more people, or you just spend time only on one person. Right? But when it comes to family, it's not that one can be so indifferent like that. It's not that you are distributing books on the street. Responsibility also. So His Holiness Radhana Samhara says that, so these are Krishna's, this wife and children and all the family members and parents and relatives, they are all like Krishna's children, and Krishna has put me in a responsible situation where I need to take care of all of them. So with that mood of servant of servant, a householder devotee serves his family and tries to inspire the family as much as possible to take to Krishna consciousness. And if a child is not taking to, say, chanting, that should not be like imposition also. Once in Pune Yatra, someone asked His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, one child asked, 10-11-year-old boy, I think, boy or girl, boy, I think. He said, my parents are pushing me to chant more rounds. I just chant 4 rounds and then watch Krishna videos and read some story books. But they are pushing me to chant more rounds. Maharaj said, ask your parents to meet me after the class. Right? Long back, maybe 10 years back or 9 years back. So, when we are asking or urging some people to take to Krishna consciousness, to chant the holy names, it should be like an inspiration and not imposition. If coming to Mangalarti or if chanting rounds, if that is seen as punishment, he will see it as punishment only. Recently in Bhagavatam class, Govind Prabhu was also mentioning the same thing. Right? That should not be given as a punishment. If they are not getting inspired, then we need to be little toning down our intensity in inspiring them. And I'm not so experienced in this. I dealt with my family. I did whatever I can manage. But you can't do certain things beyond that. But you can ask some senior devotee for more details. With little bit experience, I just mentioned this. Whatever I heard from seniors. So Bharat Maharaj became so attached. And he became so affectionate towards the deer. And he had a lot of attraction to fondle the deer. And he was distracted. During the rituals also, he was going and taking breaks and seeing what the deer is doing. And when the deer went away without telling Bharat Maharaj, so Bharat Maharaj became very anxious and he lamented in separation. So, yeah, this we covered. Prabhupada says that the real compassion is uplifting one to spiritual consciousness. And he explains about the futility of material compassion through philanthropy. Result of attachment to animals is to become an animal. If Bharat Maharaj, such a pure devotee, could become an animal, what to speak of those dogs and cats, cat lovers, who are so attached to their dogs and cats, they can definitely become cats and dogs, he said, Prabhupada says in this purport. So, without Krishna element there. So, but in general, compassion towards other living entities is fine. But not so much that one gets distracted by one's own spiritual practices. And when the deer left, Bharat Maharaj felt that I am negligent. That's why deer left. Shall I see it again? And it has not yet returned. Sun has risen, but there is no auspiciousness for me. Sunrise brings auspiciousness to everyone, but not me. With me, an exception. Why? Because deer has not yet returned. And deer is like a prince. And Bharat Maharaj was also remembering how the deer used to sit like a saint. When the deer comes to disturb my sacrifice and contaminates my sacrificial ingredients, I would just chastise the deer. Hey, go away, go away. Then it goes into Manlila and then sits there. How cute she looks, the deer looks. Like that, he just goes into a mad remembrance and praising the deer footprints. This earth has performed so many austerities because the earth got the footprints of the deer. Yad devaki sota padambuja labdha lakshmi. Gopis say like that. This Vrindavan land has become so fortunate because it got the footprints of Krishna. But Bharat Maharaj on the opposite side, he is saying that this earth is so fortunate because it got the footprints of this deer. Deer is not wearing slippers. Direct footprints. And moon is so fortunate, the marks on the moon are resembling this deer. So did the moon give shelter to the deer or what? Moon is giving cooling to everyone. But moon is just giving heat to me because of the separation of this deer. So like that, in a mad manner, he was just remembering deer. And eventually, he changed his death came and he became a deer. And acharyas explain that it is not because of his prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma is of two types, auspicious and inauspicious. Auspicious prarabdha karma is that which is arranged personally by the Lord to intensify one's absorption in devotional service. And inauspicious prarabdha karma will just plunge one into material desires. But auspicious prarabdha karma, one may get a reaction for that, but that will intensify one's absorption in bhakti. So, what happened to Bharat Maharaj is directly organized by the Lord, and that made him a better devotee. So, because the Lord also protected the consciousness of Bharat Maharaj as a devotee, even in deer's body. So, this King Bharata became Deer Bharata. Deer Bharata became Jada Bharata. So, this Deer Bharata is more spiritually advanced than King Bharat. And this Jada Bharata is more spiritually advanced than Deer Bharat. Means spiritual advancement is going on. But bodies are changing. Here is such a popular emperor of the entire Bharatavarsha. Where is this situation and where is an insignificant deer? So body is changing. Identity is gone. But his devotional advancement is there. So he became Jada Bharat. And when he became Jada Bharat, he took birth as the son of a Brahmana. And internally, he was absorbing himself in Krishna. And he was remembering his past life also. And externally, he behaved like a dumb man and mad man. To avoid any bad association. And even his father tried to train him. Jada Bharat's father tried to train him in the rules of Brahmacharya and Brahmana, regular rules and regulations. But Jada Bharat was not responding only. He was not getting trained. And he got frustrated. Eventually he died also. And after his death, Jada Bharat's stepbrother stopped his education. And Jada Bharat was made to work like a slave or like a servant. And people take lot of service from him and give him some food which is not very fresh. That food which is stuck to the bottom of the pot, they just give that, you eat this. So Jada Bharat looked very strong and stout, but he was not maintaining his body properly. His clothes are dirty, and he is not putting any oil on his body, and his Brahman thread is dirty. So like that he just experienced a lot of mistreatment from all the society members there. But Jada Bharat did not mind. He never tried to prove himself. When someone is underestimating us, when someone is not giving us as much value as we think we have, it's very frustrating experience, it's very disappointing experience. We try to prove ourselves. So, it's very rarely people will say that when someone chastises us, although we are not at mistake, very rarely people will say, no problem, I was glorified so many times, although I don't deserve. This time I am chastising. This time I got chastisement, although I didn't do the mistake. So very rarely people reconcile like that. So when they have some talent and when they have some self-worth, they want to prove it. Yes, I am not like this. But Jada Bharat raised above those conceptions. Everybody misunderstood his position. Everybody is thinking that he is a dumb man, dull man, foolish fellow. But Jada Bharat was absorbed in his Krishna consciousness internally, and externally he is behaving like a madman only. He did not prove himself. So one day he was guarding a field. Then some dacoits came and caught Jada Bharat. Because these dacoits, they wanted to gain some mystic powers or some siddhis to steal better. They concocted a puja ritual. They wanted to please Mother Kali, Mother Kali. So they caught a man who is Purusha Pasu, who is dumb man as good as an animal. So they wanted to sacrifice him. Somehow that person just left. He ran away. So they wanted a replacement. No. Replacement Bali. Replacement Purusha Pasu. They found Jada Bharat. They caught him. Jada Bharat did not say anything. Okay, this is what Krishna wants me to undergo. I will go. So he went, and the head priest was about to behead Jada Bharat to give him as a sacrifice to Kali, and Kali could not tolerate this offense to a Vaishnava. The deity broke apart, and Mother Kali came out and beheaded all these dacoits and played football with them, with their heads, and the blood that is coming from their bodies, all the pishachis and bhutas, pretas who were accompanying Kali, they drank. And Jada Bharat, as if nothing has happened, he just moved. He wandered about. So he did not protest. So that's his dependence on Krishna. So once Jada Bharat was sitting at one place, and Rahugana, a king of Savvira, he was going on a palanquin, and they wanted one more person to carry the palanquin. They caught Jada Bharat. They forcefully engaged Jada Bharat in carrying this palanquin. And because Jada Bharat was very compassionate to the ants, he's a Vaishnava, he just going with the palanquin, and he was moving erratically, not being very careful not to step on these ants, and there is an imbalance, and Rahugana became very angry. So he said, are you dead despite life in your body? I will punish you. I am king, you are my servant, you are supposed to serve me. If you don't serve me properly, I have the authority to punish you. So like that he chastised him, and Jada Bharat gave a reply. He said, when Rahugana said, are you dead? Jada Bharat said, I am not this body. Where is the question of death? Everyone's body changes. And Rahugana said, I am your master. Don't you understand this? You are my servant. Jada Bharat said, they are only conventions, temporary. Tomorrow I will become master and you will become servant also. Then Rahugana chastised, I will punish you. Punishing is useless. Because you can't punish a self-realized person. That is useless. You can't punish a madman, that is also useless. I am both. I am a self-realized person acting like a madman. So your punishment is useless. Janabharat got a shock of his life. So he came down and said, "Who are you? Why are you presenting yourself like this? Your glory is covered." He says, "Naham vishanke suraraja vajran natryaksha sulan nayamasya dandat nagnyarka soma nilavitta pastrat shankhe brisham brahma kulava manat." I am not afraid of all the weapons of Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all these great people. I am afraid of offending a Vaishnava. Because I am a Kshatriya, I have a natural excitement to fight with them when they come with these weapons. But I can't handle this Vaishnava Parad. I can't handle this. Please forgive me for whatever I have said. So are you Kapila? Who are you? You look so great. Your influence is covered. Why are you wandering like a dullard? So please tell me, what is the most secure shelter in this world? Please relieve me from this entanglement. I have some questions about your comments. When I spoke sarcastically, you gave me a reply. You said that you are not this body. So Rogana questioned, although the soul is not body, still there is fatigue. Because Rogana was sarcastically saying that, "Oh, you must be so tired because you are carrying this palanquin for a long time. Or you are such an old man, that's why you are unable to carry." Basically, he is sarcastically saying. Rahugana, when he said it, Jadabharat was not an old man. Jadabharat was not carrying palanquin for a long time. So Rahugana said it sarcastically. So now Rahugana asked the question. All the soul is not body, there is fatigue, there is fatness, etc. felt by the soul. Just like you boil rice within a pot, milk and rice within a pot. Only pot is being burnt. So you can't say that heat is going to the pot only and inside rice is safe. Heat is felt by inside rice and milk also. Similarly, soul is inside and body is outside. When the body is experiencing some fatigue, that is affecting the soul also. That is Rogana's logic. Then you also said that master-servant positions are conventions. But they can't be untrue. They can't be false. King's duty is to punish the disobedient person. Then you also said that I am a self-realized person acting like a madman. Punishing you is very useless. My question is, isn't that a king's occupational duty is to punish disobedient citizens? So by doing that duty, he will attain punya. So how can you say that punishing is useless? So then when he asked like that, Jadabharat said, "You are speaking like a learned person, but you are a fool. You are akovida. Vedas are filled with knowledge of household life and other three modes, knowledge related to three modes. So they don't have knowledge of absolute truth, because most people are not qualified for that knowledge only. So mind..." He gives the characteristics of mind. "Mind is contaminated by the three modes and it continues to engage a man in pious and impious activities through the senses. So if the mind is attached to these gunas, it will cause samsara. If the mind is detached from gunas, it will cause liberation." So same mind can cause both. Just like a charred wick, means a partially burnt wick, will only give smoky flame. But a ghee-laden wick, a fresh wick, that will give bright flame. Similarly, mind, how it is engaged, that depending on that, you get the result, either liberation or bondage. Then he gives more characteristics of the mind, and he also gives the characteristics of the Supreme Lord, and one should conquer the mind by diverting one's attachment from sense objects and focusing on bhakti. So then he mentions, or Rahugana offers obeisances to the Lord. "Namo namah, namo namah karana vigrahaya swarupa tuchhi krita vigrahaya namo vadhuta dvija bandhulinga nigodha nityanubhavaya tubhyam." So you are like karana vigrahaya. So many details are there. You, my respects unto you, because you seem to be very knowledgeable and self-realized person, but you are hiding your transcendental position. I am diseased. I am distressed. Your words are like medicine for my fever. And your words are like cooling waters for someone who is suffering in scorching sun. Please continue to explain Adhyatmika Yoga. My mind is bewildered. I asked you some questions. How the servant master positions are conventions. How body does not experience fatigue and all. And you spoke about mind and bhakti. Now I want the answers to my questions. He reminded them. So, you're able to follow the theme, the flow. So, Jadabharat now establishes the falsity of this material world. I said that there are conventions. And you claimed that it's the king's responsibility to punish citizens and all. Yes, correct. I agree. But understand the reality of this world. The palanquin and the palanquin carriers and the king in the inside the palanquin, they are all transformations of earth. But you, means the bodies. But you, blinded by the illusion of false identity of being the king of Savira, you are thinking like that. You are authorized and you are king. You can do whatever you want. Ruling, king's ruling is proper, but ruling citizens by engaging them forcefully is not proper. You forcefully engaged me in carrying your palanquin, and you forcefully engaged the other three fellows also same in a similar manner. So, it is adharma, it is not mercy. You are not doing your duty properly. Then, the jiva's body arises from the earth and it disappears into the earth. And that earth also is ultimately temporary because earth will go back into the Lord's body, Mahavishnu's body. All the elements will be going like that. So thus, all these manifestations of fatigue and fatty body, skinny body, all these are temporary. In that sense, they are false. They are just conventions. So, you need to develop the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond all these temporary affairs of this material world. How to attain that Vasudeva? By the test from the lotus feet of the devotees. Rahu ganai tat tapasa nayati nachejjaya nirvapanad grahadvam nachandasanai vajalakni suryair vinamahatpadara jobhishekam. One can realize the Lord only by bathing himself in the test of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Then, how does that association help a person? By making him fix his mind on Vasudeva. By hearing in the association of devotees. Right? So, then he also says, power of devotee association in Krishna Katha. Tasman naro sanga susanga jata jnanasi ne naiva vivikrana mohaha. He says all that and he also reveals his identity. I am actually Bharat Maharaj, by the way. I am Bharat Maharaj. This whole Bharata Varsha is named after me. He didn't say all that. So you are just an insignificant subordinate king under my rule, my protection. I have conducted so many sacrifices. Basically he didn't say all that, but all these are revealed automatically without saying only. Because Bharat Maharaj is not a unpopular person. He is a great celebrity. Entire Bharatavarsha people know him. Now, where is that Bharat Maharaj? Where is this Jadabharat? Hardly known by anyone. So, Krishna can arrange anything in the life of a devotee. He can make the emperor of entire Bharatavarsha into an insignificant deer. Unnoticeable. Who will notice a deer? No, who will notice a dull man like this? If people come to know that this Bharat Maharaj, he is Bharat Maharaj, people may start worshipping him. But now he is playing another role. Right? So every situation is different. Bro, if you don't mind, we will discuss after sometime. Huh? Narayana?
Why he doesn't live? He comes back to birth again. He takes the name of Lord Hari Narayan.
Who?
As deer.
Correct. Why he comes back to birth means basically Lord is purifying him. Here some other transcendental rules are applying. Right? So Lord could have taken him as Bharat Maharaj also, but he wanted him to undergo certain kind of punishment at least one or two lifetimes before he gets completely purified. After Jadabharata's thing, he purified. Then he explains this forest of material enjoyment. So he gives an allegorical story. A merchant goes into forest. Now will you guess if I say some quiz? Okay, let's try. So a merchant goes into the forest to sell his articles, but he suffers. So he is compared to conditioned soul. Jadabharat gives an allegorical story to Rahugana, and Sukadeva Goswami explains that allegorical story in the next chapter. This is covered, right? So conditioned soul is also suffering in this world through six senses. So in that forest there are plunderers. Who are plunderers? Okay, uncontrolled senses. And jackals, family members. This is materialistic household life. Next, imaginary palace. What is that? Mind's false vision. Next, mosquitoes. Enemies, taxes. Okay, low class men. So, ghosts. I have given the answer also. Lusty desires, material desires. So, eyes blinded by dust. Desire for possessions, illicit sex. Owls, sounds of owls and crickets. Government officials. No, enemies and government. So, impious trees. Wealthy men who do not give charity. That's why they are compared to impious trees. Impious trees do not give any fruits and flowers, right? Next, some mirage. So it is sense gratification. Then there is shallow river. Chudagurus, exactly. This is easy to remember. So you feel that they give you spiritual shelter, but they will misguide you. Just like a shallow river is there, you see, oh, it's such a big water body. You just jump there, your head will break. Because just within 1 foot only there is some stones and ground. It's not so deep. Then forest fire. Family enjoyment. Yakshas. Someone said already, earlier. Yakshas are government officials. They take tax and all. Temporary relief in Gandharva city. Okay. Something more specific? I gave the answer also here. See these two girls. So there is a dreamy happiness. Remembrance of forefathers. He will get a son. He thinks that my grandfather became my son. He will get a daughter. My great grandmother became my daughter. We are not sure whether it is correct or not, but he imagines like that. Right? And he may name that boy or girl also after that grandmother and grandfather only. So climbing hill. Ceremonies, correct. So many household ceremonies are there. One becomes angry on family. Python. Sleep, correct. Then snake bites. Enemies. Then dark well. If you show dark well from top, na, you can't see anything. That's I showed from bottom. Household life. Anger. Troubled heart. And honey search and bees are bitten. He tries to steal honey and then bees will just chase him. What is this? So illicit sex. If someone tries to usurp someone else's property, then what will happen? This only will happen. He is trying to take that bee, right? Beehive. So, miseries from nature and enemies. Okay, threefold miseries. It's more or less same. Cheating, propensity and all. What is this? This is not old days. Begging. This is not praying. This is begging. Beg, borrow, steal. then he will get insults and disrespect and difficulties and endeavors. And giving up the dead, accepting the newborn, no interest in spiritual life. So even great warriors also fail because of this I and mine concept. So creepers are compared to wife, and lions are compared to time factor. Then this cranes and vultures are compared to whom? We already had this earlier. Pseudo gurus, bogus gurus. So first he will go from cranes to swans to monkeys. That means some pseudo swamis to brahmanas to sudras, because he is unable to settle himself in any of their association. Then he enjoys on the tree, he falls into a cave and he will be crushed by elephant. That is a transmigration. And sometimes he just dangles on the creeper, not going down, not going up. That means he is perpetually going up and coming down in this transmigration. So the solution is bhakti is the only way out. So like that, Jadabharat concludes his instructions and Rahugana expresses his gratitude. And Rahugana says, Aho arjanma akhila janma surabhanam kim janma bhistu aparair apyamushmin. So the human life is very rare and it's extremely valuable for someone who wants to perfect his life. Then there are so many other verses also he speaks as an expression of his gratitude towards Jadabharat for giving him all these teachings. And this Rahugana is enlightened and Jadabharat goes on his travel and eventually he'll perfect his life. So sages glorify Jadabharat also. And in the 15th chapter, the other descendants of Priyavrata are described after Jadabharat, after Bharat Maharaj. The whole dynasty chart is given in the 97th page. You see, the whole full Priyavrata dynasty is given there. So this completes the Priyavrata dynasty section. It's 115. Thank you all very much. Kathashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.